reform and engage the bride of Christ. To stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom, we recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits.
Bride of Christ, this is your host, Stephanie Daniel. I'm coming to you this October, early October, from Camden, Tennessee, and want to say, praise the Lord, all you saints, give him praise. His name is most high and worthy, and I'm so excited today. We're here with Dr. June Knight. Hey, Dr. June.
Hello.
Hey, we're excited. We're going to be interviewing the host. She's the hostess with the mostest. She also has authored more than one book. I believe this is her second book. She's going to be talking to us today, The Broken Bride. She's also, she founded We Are the Bride Radio. She's also traveling through the United States, has traveled to the United States, meeting with ministries and honoring them and serving them and giving God a platform through other, and giving other ministries a platform that can speak. And so we just want to say, hey, Dr. June Knight, we are so honored to hear your story today through your book, The Broken Bride. Thank you so much for telling us about it today.
Yes, I'm honored to be the guest today.
You are the guest, and you are also hosting you, and I believe it's, is it Trinity Ministries? You're hosting the Authors and Artists 2015 Expo.
And that's it's the Trifold season. Ministries. They've partnered with Treehouse Publishers, which is my publishing company. We're partnering together to highlight authors and artists in Nashville.
Okay, so that's very exciting news. I'm sorry about that. Trifold Ministries, partnered
yes,
with Treehouse Publishing. And so you have some exciting news to talk with us today about your new book, and we're just highlighting, you are just one of the authors that we're highlighting on We Are the Bride Ministries, because you are doing the Authors and Artists Expo. So, Dr. June, as I was preparing for this broadcast, you know, I try to pray, and I started thinking about maybe one of the questions maybe the Lord wanted me to ask you, and you've told me, I understand some of your book, but I want to ask you a question you're not expecting me to ask today. Is that exciting?
Go for it, woman.
Okay, this came to me today while I was meditating on the broadcast and on the Lord. I want to know, you had shared in one of your other previous broadcasts, and you may even share it in your book, that you were offered a doctorate degree, and they were going to pay for your degree. You were going to have a good job, I mean, a wonderful job, and you turned it down to follow God in ministry. Is that true?
Yes. Now listen, at the time when they offered it to me, I was not right with the Lord. And I was working really hard at that time. I was working for a lawyer full time. I was working at the school part time in the graduate office, in the corporate communications office. I was teaching classes at the college. I was taking full time graduate courses. I was finishing my paper. President of two organizations, so yes, I was very, very busy, but in my heart, I was wanting to do that. I was wanting to go, you know, travel the world. I had just gotten back from London, studying under the top three media and global marketing and advertising firms, And so I was wanting to take over the world. I mean, I'm a single woman, and I did not want to rely upon anybody or a man. I wanted to be self-sustainable, which is why I went back to school. And so when my boss confronted me with this, the reason he offered it to me is because when I was in London, I made a 100 from the University of Kentucky on both my paper, my 20-page research paper, and in the class. So he said out of his 30 years, he'd never had a student that did that, that made 100. So he wanted to pay for me to go to the University of Illinois and, you know, for me to become a professor in communications. He wanted me to be his protege. And I told him, I said, well, so I better go pray about it, because even though I wasn't in intercession prayer because I wasn't right with God, I still prayed. So I went to pray, and I heard God plain as day. He said, I said no. And so I went back to this gentleman, and I told him, I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but the Lord said no. So I went through persecution, because that was in the spring semester. In the fall semester, which was my last semester, he set me down every day persecuting me. And he would tell me, your religion is crazy. I just cannot believe you would give up a $100,000 education. Something's wrong with you. And I would tell him, I kept trying to tell him, sir, my whole family, we're all anointed. I have children. We all went to Bible college together. I don't know what to tell you. And here I am, not even right. I mean, I'm still in bars at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sitting there in the office defending my religion, you know. So the way he got me back is when I graduated, he stripped me. When I walked in public, I was able to walk with honors because I made straight A's. I took too many classes, didn't even know it, but I made straight A's except for one, which was my first class in research. I made a B. A high B was like 1 point off. So when I went to get my degree 2 months after graduation, it had my honors was not on there. I said, where's my honors? And they said, you was lacking 1 point. So he stripped me 1 point. I suspect, you know, that he did that, not trying to be accusatory, but that's just the way I felt. I was like, yeah, he got me back. So yeah. After I graduated, God shut all the doors and said, get on your face and get right with me. He wouldn't let me get a job. I kept applying 450 jobs. Nobody would hire me. Wow. And so he said, get on your face. So in May, I graduated in December, went to the Bahamas for vacation, for graduation. When I got back and started applying, nobody. So after I got on my face, but I do want to tell you this real quick about that decision. So here I went into the pit, 2 years in the pit, lost everything, been persecuted, everybody making fun of me, I don't have a job, I got a master's degree, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm traveling all over the United States this summer, and lo and behold, I was leaving Indiana, headed to Louisiana, and I drove right by the University of Illinois. And you know the devil played with my mind. He was like, that's where you could be. Mm-hmm. Instead of in this broke-down old car with 250,000 miles on it, saying you're trusting God with nothing but a dime to your name, mm-hmm. helping all these people at halftime don't, you know, appreciate back or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. oh. I was like, God, help me. I know you've got, my breakthrough is coming. I just keep trusting God that my breakthrough is coming. Amen.
Yes. Yeah, now this is what I wanted to ask you about that. I'm glad glad you shared that. That's a powerful testimony to God and your walk with God. And I love to hear when people are challenged by the Lord and they take him up on his challenge. You had to give up a lot. But now you do have a doctorate. Now tell me what this doctorate from the Lord, tell me, I know you're going to tell me it's so much better, and that's what I want to hear. How much better is this doctorate from the Lord?
Well, that is funny because a year and a half into my pit, I find out about the university down in Florida. It's not a university. It's an International Miracle Institute. but it's the biggest Bible college in the world. Like last year, they graduated 200,000 students in almost every country on the planet.
Wow.
So I checked into it, and they called me back after they researched me, and they said, well, we saw your website, and we see what you do for ministers. Now, this is awesome. They said, we want to offer you a doctorate, and we're going to offer you $10,000 off.
Oh.
And you can get it within a year because you already have a master's and all your years of ministry. So I told them, I said, well, you know, I'm walking by faith, you know, like I don't have any money because I owed like, I think it was $1,800. And so I started making monthly payments, and then the second month I didn't have the money to pay them. I just knew they was going to shut me down. I kept taking the classes, though, and, you know, I was so close to them shutting me down, and the Lord gave me a dream one night. He said, I'm going to pay for your doctorate. And I'm going to pay off your student loans for your college because they're like $75,000.
Wow.
And so I said, okay. So anyways, I wrote to school about a week later. I said, please don't shut me down. I said, God told me in a dream he was going to pay my tuition. Please, you know, I worked really hard for this and whatnot. So they said, okay, we're going to pray with you and trust you. So I was able to get $50 more and, you know, just pay them randomly a couple of times. And then some friends in Clarksville paid $200 on it. And so all summer I was not able to pay anything. And then one day this ministry, these apostles, ended up paying it off. And I was just, it was like a month before graduation. I mean, I was,
wow.
God made me sweat that thing all the way to the end, you know. But
yeah.
He did pay it. And when I walked, you know, it meant so much to me because I realized you didn't want me to get a doctorate in liberology. You wanted me to get a doctorate in theology.
Yeah.
And, you know, where it's about him. So when I, you know, walked and everything, it meant a lot to me because of the price that I paid to get that, you know.
Yes. Praise God for his faithfulness. And I just felt you were supposed to share that today. Now, you wrote your, what was the title of your first book you wrote?
Selling the Mark of the Beast, Marketing RFID in Europe versus the United States. And that was from my trip to Europe. That was based on my year-long research from Europe.
Okay, and so
about the market.
About the market of the base, and I know that they can get that on your website, Treehouse Publishing. Now, your next book is called The Broken Bride, and I love it. I've seen the picture of it. I love, love, love that picture. But I also know some of your story, so of course I love the story. So why don't you start out sharing with us, how did you get this idea to write this book? What I know from your walk of life, God usually just really, I don't want to say confront, but he, that's the wrong word, but like he appears in such a real way to you, and he challenges you to do things.
You know, I never thought about him challenging me, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Well, when I was in Bible college, I was there with both of my sons. And my first semester, I was there with my oldest son. My other son, he was a senior in high school. And about halfway through the semester, I was up on the platform because I was studying praise and worship leadership. And I was up there in the choir, and I was singing, and I went in the throne room. And this happens a lot to me during worship. And I was in the throne room. And the Lord said, do you remember that vision I gave you about the bride 2 years ago? I said, yes. And where that vision came from is my son had a ministry in high school called Wildfire. And I was there in worship and had an open vision during worship of a bride up on a platform dancing. And it started out with a video. It was in a big coliseum. And there is a video to the right showing her life story. And then the black light shined down on this bride. and she had, her eyes were so beautiful with white paintings on it, like with diamonds. It's hard to explain, but her lips were white. Her hair had glitter all in it. It was very long, and her nails were like the, they were white. And then her dress was beautiful white with diamonds on it. So when the black light shined on her, all you saw was the bride. You didn't see who it was. And then this worship music started, and she worshiped. Oh, my Lord. Whew! Just thinking about it right now, it gives me chills because she was so intimate. Like, you could just feel the way she would move her lips and her hands. You could feel her expressions. And then she did, like, three worship songs, and, like, she was longing for her lover to come after her. And then all of a sudden, the light shines on this man, which he knew was Jesus, standing there in a tux. And she just went crazy, like, oh, I've been waiting for you for so long. And she just runs up to him and, like, falls at his feet. And then they start dancing, and they do the most romantic, beautiful dance, and then they disappear. So I'm up on the platform in praise and worship, and he says, do you remember that vision you had about the bride? I said, yes. He said, that's you. I said, what? You know, I was like, that woman's skinny. You know, he always gives me dreams where he shows me I'm skinny, and I always argue with him. I said, that woman was skinny. And he said, that's you. He said, you're going to write a book called We Are the Bride, and you are going to tell the world what I'm showing you about being the true husband. And I said, Lord, I haven't even graduated high school. I don't have an education. I don't know how I'm going to write a book. I'm arguing with him. I'm like, I'm a terrible writer, you know. And so he told me I was. So I come out of the vision, out of the throne room, come back. And then we walk off the platform, and I sit out there, and bam, all of a sudden, here come Rob Parsley. And it was the first time we had seen him in chapel, so it was exciting just to get to see him. And he walked up there, and he said, I don't know who this is for, but God made me stop working and come here and tell somebody that we are the bride. And he preached that whole thing about the bride. Wow. Oh, man, I sat there, I wept. So I say that the ministries, We Are the Bride Ministries, was born that day. The seed was planted that day. Wow. And then the book was planted. So sure enough, Bible college, you know, ends where I had to leave like 6 months before graduation because my daughter got sick. So I left and then went to secular college. And then, bam, here I am now, 7 years later or nine. No, it's 10 years later now. And now I have a doctorate. And so when I graduated with my doctorate, God would not let me see anything past that. I'm a seer. So I can see the future mostly, you know, and tell what's coming, but I couldn't see anything. So a friend of mine that has this ministry called Fresh Oil Ministries where they let pastors stay in this cabin by the river. It's really pretty. I was in the cabin the first night. And I was praying, and this was, let's see, the end of August. And I said, Lord, what is wrong? I said, why can I not see the future? You know what I mean? Even though I don't have a home and I'm driving this old car and everything, I can usually see what's coming, you know, because I walk by faith, so he leads me everywhere I go. So I said, what's wrong? Why can I not see anything? I said, will you give me a dream or something to let me know? So that night I have a dream. And he tells me in the dream, he said, the reason you can't see anything is because you're in disobedience. And I said, I am? He said, yes. I said, how am I in disobedience? And he said, because I told you 2 years ago to write this book, and you have not written this book yet. He said, don't do another thing until you finish this book. He said, after you finish that book, I will open up the heavens. So I repented. Wow. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I started writing. And I mean, listen, I was in this cabin for a week. God gave me money for food, so I had food to eat. It was right there by the river. He gave me beautiful sunny days every day. So I could go outside the cabin, sit by the river in the mornings, and just enjoy the fresh, beautiful air and just talk to him and, you know, spend time with him. And then it was like God took me back in time of my life. And when I went back and experienced again all of that pain and darkness, oh, I was weeping. I'm like, God, this hurts so bad. I cannot believe I went through this, because now my life is so different. My choices, if I had to make them over again, would be so different. But I knew that God wanted me to be transparent in the book and tell everything I've done. And it's really scary because you got all these people out there that you don't know, and you're going to tell them some of your deep, dark secrets, you know. And so you're basically transparent and you're going to be exposed. So I went back in time and I wrote that whole book in 1 week. I wrote 300 pages. But I would write from 5:30 or 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning until 10:30 at night. But it ended up that I split the book up. I'm fixing to release the second part to it, because this is actually a series, We Are the Bride series. So the first one is called Testimony of a Broken Bride, Jesus is the True Husband. And in that book, I do, it's my autobiography, so I share my life story. And also, when I went back in time, I realized how Satan, now that I see what God's doing in my life, how he's birthing this media ministry and how I'm serving the bride and, you know, the traveling now. I'm thinking that next year I'll be going overseas to the nations, you know, but I see what he's doing now. So now that I'm writing about this little girl, I'm thinking, I see what you did, Satan. Now picture this, okay, this is a woman that's birthing basically the new TBN, impurity and holiness, that will be the pure, unadulterated word. This is what I'm feeling from the Holy Spirit. So I've had to do great things about myself, like sitting at the river one day, and the Lord told me, I want you to write down every person you slept with. So I had to face my demons about soul ties. And but all the things I did, you know, for God to clean my heart and to make me pure. Okay, so now God wants to birth this media out of purity. So when I was a little girl, you know, Satan molested me, took my innocence. By the time I was 8 years old, I was trying to kill myself. At 10 years old, I'm standing on the side of the road trying to catch any church bus that go by.
You were what? You know, you were trying to kill yourself at 8 years old.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just hated myself, and because I had to watch, you know, him do that to my sister too. That's what I hated more than anything. And so then, you know, this pastor, whenever I got saved at 10, when I was 11, this pastor humiliated me in front of the whole church, called me a liar because he was defending his daughter. And so he kicked me out of the church, and that was the only church that come out my way. So that caused me to be bitter against pastors for many, many years. And it seems funny how Satan tries to come in, and listen, if there's somebody listening, you know, this may have happened to you. Think about what happened in your childhood, because Satan probably come against you about your future. He knew what was coming. And so if he could get me bitter against pastors and angry at church leadership to where I would never want to serve them, you know, so that, and then he attacked my purity, which in the end is what is birthing this ministry, see.
Right, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, after I finished the book, it was released on September the 23rd. I had to pray for a week or so for God to bring me back, because it brought back all those pain and all that issue of my past. And I kept praying, God, please bring me back to the present. Because when you write a book, you are putting a part of yourself in that book.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, God, please bring me back. So when I put my book out there for reviews, one of the pastors come back and said, I can feel the purity in this book. And
oh,
that was huge
wow.
for me to
yeah.
hear somebody
wow.
say that.
That's
because even though it is ugly and dark in there, you know, I pray that when people read it, you know, that they'll feel the transparency of me putting my heart out there at the risk of, you know, being slammed and,
right.
you know,
sure.
being slammed and stuff.
Okay, Jen, you remember when before we got on the air today, we prayed and I really felt that the angels would be here today, and I believe that that's what you just talked about. I believe is why the angels are here today. And I'm not trying to, you know, be boastful. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I really felt when we were praying today that God would send His angels. I'm more about God Himself coming than I am angels. So for
yes,
me to feel that in prayer, I really feel like that maybe God is sending angels out today for people who are listening who have been through, you know, the sexual assault, or been through being thrown away, or been through maybe they didn't fulfill a vow God called them to fulfill, or, you know, maybe they got disappointed by the church. And so we just ask God to release those angels. That I do believe the angels are on the scene, and I just pray if you're listening, if you'll just call out to God, that He will hear you and help you and heal you.
Yeah.
And
just
as June has been healed, and she shared with her, she shared her heart in that book, her healing, God can heal you today, right now, and you don't have to go any further. You don't have to try to fix yourself or change yourself. And God sees that you're beautiful right now. You're beautiful and lovely to Him. He wants to hold
yeah.
you and caress you like His little baby, like that pure baby, that pure child. He wants to wash you today. So, Lord, we thank You for that. And so
yeah.
We just ask the Lord just to be with you and wipe your tears today, that you'd realize you have a purpose, that you'd realize, as June has shared with her, she knew there was a purpose, that you would see that you have a purpose today. And so, Lord, we thank
yeah.
you that you're releasing purpose in individuals' lives, that you do have a purpose. There is a reason for the pain, the attack of the enemy. It was not God. It was the enemy trying to stop
yeah.
your purpose. And so, Lord, we just pray you would find your purpose today. You would find a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit today. And so we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, June, we want you to share more about your book and about being a single woman, a single person depending on her father to be the husband.
Amen. Okay, here we go.
Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is sold. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Thank you, Bride, for joining us again today. This is the second half of our interview with Dr. June Knight. And if I sound very solemn, it's because I'm feeling so solemn after what June shared. And I just feel like we're still in a holy moment with the Lord. You feel that way, June?
Yes, ma'am.
So we're just going to let June go ahead and share her heart We want you to remember the 2015 Authors and Artists Expo, and she's one of the authors that's been highlighted. So, Jean, please share your heart that the Lord wants you to share.
Well, I want to start out by saying that the main point of the book is that when I was married to the kid's father at the end of the marriage, at the end of that very abusive marriage, I knew we was getting ready to divorce, and I was in intercession, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "I want you all to myself because I'm a jealous God." I said, "What?" And he said it again. I said, "Are you saying that I can never get married again?" You know, and he said it again, and I was like, "Oh, no." I said, "I am not becoming celibate." No, I was 25. I was like, you know, I'd never had teenage years and whatnot. I was like, "No." And so I'm, you know, over the length of 12 more years, I married 5 more times. I married the kid's dad 2 more times. I was determined to make our family work. It just would not work. I married this other guy. He left me 3 weeks later for another woman. I married this other guy. It lasted 1.5 years. It was a disaster. Married this other guy, and it lasted 1 day. So at the end of the 12 years, God said it again. And I said, "Lord, I'm 35 years old. Why are you asking me this again? Why don't you ask a virgin? Ask somebody, you know," I'm having this argument with God, you know, "ask somebody that's not had the life I've had. Come on now," you know.
Yeah.
And he said it again. So, oh, I was so mad at him. I was beating the steering wheel under the moonlight talking to him. And I was like, "I can't be this woman. I'm so codependent, God. I just can't understand why you'd ask me that."
Oh.
So I go to church, and the pastor's preaching, and he says, "When God calls you to do something, it's Him that gives you the strength to do it, not yourself." So the Lord spoke to me. He said, "If you will trust me, Jean, I will show you what a real husband is." And I said, "But you can't have sex with me." You know,
right.
I was a sex addict, you know. And he said, "Just trust me." So I said, "All right, Lord, I've failed at everything else. I'm going to give you a try." So the next Sunday I got baptized. I married the Lord that day. I told everybody, "I'm marrying the real one this time." So we got married in the baptismal. And about 4 days later, he wakes me up and he says, "I want you to go to World Harvest Bible College." I said, "What? I'm 36 years old. Why do you want me to go to Bible college?" He says, "Sell your house and give away everything you got." I was like, "What?" I was like, "This has got to be the devil." So I researched the Bible college, and it was $4,500 for my son to go to school at their school they had on campus. So the next morning, the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock and said it again. He said, "I said, go to World Harvest Bible College." I said, "All right, Lord, if this is you."
Yeah.
I was like, "If this is you," I was reading about Gideon. "And you told Gideon to go take an army and do something." And Gideon said, "All right, Lord, just to make sure this is you, I'm going to put a fleece out there." I said, "I'm going to do the same thing because I'm your queen." I said, "If you want me to go to Bible college, all I ask is you pay my son's tuition $4,500. If you'll do that, then I'll go." So the next week, God opened it up for me to go up there and visit. I went up there and visited. 2 people confirmed it. They said, "Thus saith the Lord, God has called you up here, and He's going to pay for everything. Don't worry about nothing." So I come back. So within 2 months, I had sold my house, give away everything I had, and I had nice German furniture, too. I gave away everything I had, went up there with nothing but a dime to my name. Well, while I was up there, man, I mean, y'all can listen to my previous audio. I think I get into details about it, but God showed me miracles about how He is the one we are to lean on. And so it's been 10 years now. And, oh, and by the way, that first year I was there, about 8 months after I got there, it was on Christmas Eve. the Lord woke me up and he said, I got a present for you. I was laughing. I said, oh, yeah, what? He said, I'm going to let you get married again. I said, why? That's what I said. I said, why would you do that after everything I've been through? And he said, you had to get your priorities in order because you have to love me before you can ever love a man.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, did I repent. I felt horrible. I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because he's jealous over me.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to preach to you today, bride, about. He's jealous over you.
Yeah.
There is nothing that you can put before God that he will not try to take it back if he needs to. And you know what? That even means spouses and children. The Bible says if you love your children more than me, if you love your spouse more than me, I am jealous over you. And you know, there is a judgment coming to America. But the only reason that God's fixing to bring the judgment is because he's jealous over the bride. He's jealous.
You're jealous.
We have put other things before him. We have put television, we have put our families, we have put our friends, we have put our heart's desires like I did with men. I wanted a husband so bad, I wanted a family because I never had one.
Mm-hmm.
How dare God take that from me?
Yeah.
But he knew I had that more in my heart than I had him. So I want to talk to y'all about that because yesterday we had a shooting at a community college in Oregon. Now, this is, of course, a pre-recording, so by the time y'all hear this, it's going to be a couple of weeks later, or, you know, maybe a couple of weeks later. But there was a community shooting in Oregon, and the rumor is that they went up to people and asked them, are you a Christian? And they shot them in the head.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. According to WashingtonPost.com, yes, I say it with an R because I'm from Nashville. Washington. But according to WashingtonPost.com, so far in 2015, we've had 274 days and 294 mass shootings.
Oh my God.
Believe this is just the beginning, people. And if we don't know our relationship with Jesus Christ, it will cost you greatly. You have got to have your heart right with him 100%. I encourage you today to sell out to him 100%. He is jealous over you. If you have anything in your heart that is more important than him, lay it down. There is no person that should be in the place of who God is. And God gave me a revelation one day about what is an idol. See, I had men as an idol. Yes, you can do that. That's what codependency is. Codependency means I'm trusting this more than I'm trusting God. So I have a codependent. I'm dependent upon that thing. God wants to be the only dependent thing there is. He showed me that an idol is when you are hurting, and you have to go to something to get relief, that's an idol. When I smoked cigarettes, let me tell you, I could smoke them things like just eating them. Going out, you know, I would smoke 3 and 4 packs a day. I loved them. But that was an idol to me. Because when I was hurting, I'd grab a cigarette or go have sex. You know, sex can be an idol, a sex addiction. Food can be an idol. If you eat too much, if you want to call your friends and gossip instead of praying, that's an idol. In other words, and also when drinking, if you want, call up your friends, hey, let's go get a drink. I've had a rough day today. See, you're leaning on that drink. God is jealous over you. He wants your attention. He wants your time. He wants your heart. And I mean, he wants every last bit of it too.
Yes.
You know, America, God made a covenant with America. whenever they founded America, they made a covenant with him. He is jealous over America. He has blessed us. Let me tell you something. I have traveled. Now, of course, I haven't been in all 50 states, and please, I'm not trying to exaggerate that I've been all over America this summer. But I've been to probably, you know, driving through maybe 20 states. Okay, so I'm driving through all these states, and I am in awe of the beauty of the United States. I mean, the hills of our country, the trees. Of course, you know, a lot of people think I'm crazy over trees, but it's the revelation God gave me about the garden. But looking at all the different trees and all the different states, the beauty of the different types of animals people have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wow, God, you have really blessed the United States of America. You have really blessed us. Because, listen, we're not in famine right now. Mm-hmm. Yes, our food's high and all that kind of stuff, but really we are such a blessed nation. And it's because of how we have put God in our nation. But the more that we take him out, the more it stirs his anger because he's jealous over America.
Yes.
And it's the same with his bride. He's jealous over us. And we have gotten too distracted. I mean, think about the Old Testament, which is just a picture of what happens in the New Testament, basically. Looking at the Old Testament, the way God was with Israel. Okay, Israel would go out there and say, oh, God, we love you. We worship you. We want to do everything you've called us to do, God. Yes. Uh-huh. Until God blesses them and gives them nice homes and gives them all their crops and, you know, fills their life with all this abundance and they have all these kids. And then they start building idols. And they start getting away from him, and he's like, He has mercy on them by sending prophets to come and tell them, stop what you're doing. God is jealous over you. And if you don't get your heart right with him, he is going to bring a judgment. Now, when the old prophets would come to those cities and say that, a lot of times the cities would repent. The leaders of the cities would say, we're calling the whole nation to fast. Everybody, God has told us we're sinning. Get on your face so judgment does not come. And what does God do? Look at Jonah. Jonah and Nineveh. Jonah got mad at God because God turned around. After he told Jonah he's going to do it, he turned around and forgave him, you know. But that's what he's going to do with America. That's why all of the intercessors are practically on their face right now, because we see what's coming. And I know you know this woman.
Yes.
As an intercessor, we know, we see it coming, like the writing's on the wall, especially what they did about the homosexual marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the highest court in the land practically smacked God in the face.
Mm-hmm.
He is jealous over us. But this is what I want to say to you personally. And then we'll go into prayer. This deal about the shooting, I do believe in the bottom of my heart that persecution is going to be ramped up more than ever in our nation. We think what's going on with ISIS overseas is going to stay over there. No, I believe it's coming to America. And listen, we have to be bolder. We have to be stronger than we have ever been. We cannot deny the Lord. At any cost, we cannot. We have to defend his name at all times. And if they come to us and they ask us if we're Christians, we have to say, yes, we are, and we're very proud of it too. You know, we cannot turn our back on God no matter what the government does. No matter what these groups that are out assassinating Christians, which the media is trying to downplay it right now, because if it was Muslims who got shot, it'd be World War III. You know,
right.
But being that it's Christian, they try to downplay it. But anyways, that's a whole nother subject. But I'm just telling y'all, get your heart right with God today. Know that He's jealous over you. And it breaks my heart. I just talked to a girl this morning, a Christian, that's really battling, homosexuality and, sex out. Well, she's not married. She's divorced now, but, having sex outside of marriage and whatnot. And I just want to tell her so bad, He's jealous over you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're married or if you're single or what. He wants 100% of your heart.
Yeah.
And if He sees that there's something, it's how much He loves you, really, because He judges those He loves. He, rebukes and I love it when He corrects me.
Yeah.
Because it keeps my heart right, you know.
Right.
But that's what He wants to do. So I encourage y'all to, if there's anything holding you back, you can, when I preach in these different revival centers, I tell people, you're looking at a woman who was the biggest whore ever. And if God can take this person and make her pure and keep her pure, He can do it for anybody. And it's really sad, but people line up from one side of that building to the other, young and old, that are impure, His bride, that need help with purity. And it's because of how things have come in through the media and how, they've opened up gates, their eye gate, their ear gate, their mouth gate, But anyways, He's jealous over you, bride. So I want to take a minute and pray for somebody, because maybe there's somebody listening and you're saying, that is me. I have either put men or women before God. I have these habits that I lean on more than I do God. I have television I watch more than God.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some parents that will compromise their beliefs because their children go off in sin, so then the parents make excuses for that sin. God is not happy about that. Sin does not change, no matter who's doing it.
Yeah.
So that scripture comes to my mind. Do you love your children more than God? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to stick with God and what He says more than any person, family, children, what? Because God is the truth. Let every man be a liar. And He's jealous over you. Amen. So let's pray real quick, and I'm going to pray for any person listening that is where I was about the being jealous. Lord, we just come together in agreement, Lord, me and Miss Stephanie, Lord, and the bride. We ask y'all to come into agreement, Lord, for any person out there that is battling codependency, that is battling having an idol, something that they have put in front of their heart before you, Lord, something that just separates them from drawing close to you and having that intimate relationship. Lord, we just come against that thing right now in the name of Jesus. We bind it and loose your freedom over them, Lord, in Jesus' name. We come against any barrier, any hindrance in any of the listeners' lives that would hinder them from having a relationship with you, Lord, in purity and in holiness, Lord. You are calling your bride to be without spot and wrinkle, and that's to be pure before your eyes, Lord, and you're asking us to clean our eye gate, clean our ear gate, clean our mouth gate, Lord, and clean our heart gate.
Yeah.
So I pray over every person listening, Lord, that they will get on their face today, and they will lay it down. They will say, Lord, you can have my cigarettes. You can have my drinking. You can have all the illicit sex. You can have all of the porno I've been watching. You can have any of my cuss words, anything I've been doing that is not pleasing in your eyes, that I'm doing because I'm really hurting and I really need to just pray. But instead of me praying, I'm out here acting out in all of these behaviors because I didn't realize that I really just need to spend time with you and let you heal those roots. So I pray over all those roots right now that you pull them out, Lord, in Jesus' name. That you pull those roots out and that you expose those rotten roots. And anything that's attached itself to the bride right now, we speak it across the airwaves, freedom and deliverance. In the mighty name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person listening, that they will be free from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, and that there be nothing holding them back from rising up and being in the mighty army of the living God that they have been called to be, Lord, that they would be marching forth and not be in having all this baggage that would be holding them back from being everything, the warrior that God has called the bride to be. Yes. And I thank you, Lord, you are jealous over us because you love us and you want us to give it all to you, Lord, and to be transparent and to stand before the throne of God with our arms wide open, saying, God, wash me clean from the top of my head to the soles of my feet and take it all. It's a reckless abandonment to your will, God, a reckless abandonment to who you are and what you want to be in us, God. We want to march walking in freedom, Lord, and not having baggage and not having the spirit of Antichrist attached to us. Anything of the world, Lord, being loosed off your people today in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you and give you praise, God, because we are the mighty army of the living God and that we are marching forth, Lord, in truth. Marching forth in boldness, Lord, in freedom and in purity and in holiness, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that every person listening can be pure. Every person. And any devil that's lying, I hear it right now, lying to somebody saying you can never be pure. I bind that thing right now in Jesus' name. Every one of you listening can be pure. Every one of you. God wants to set you free. He wants you to be all that he has designed for you to be. You know, he wrote a book for you before time began that said your life can be like this if you will trust him 100%. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of your freedom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, if you want to follow that up in prayer, go ahead. I feel the anointing.
Oh, I feel the Lord, and I thank the Lord for that clarion call that was given in the Spirit, the clarion call to come back home to the Lord. It's time to come back home to Jesus, and it's time to make God God. For
yes.
He is above all God, as the Word says, and that's
yes.
What God is saying for us today through June, is that we must make him our King, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. He must be
yes.
All and all and all, and he is who we must have. He is who must be in us and consume us, and that's been
yes.
My prayer, is that he would consume Woo. Me till nothing's left, that we could go behind the veil, and where the old man dies behind the veil. You know, June, you can still minister in the inner court and be alive, but you can't go behind the veil and live. And I'm praying, and I pray for people who can, you know, give up everything. Just like June, it's that simple. Just say, God, it's yours. The alcohol is yours. You may not feel the change, but as long as you take that step, he is going to meet you. As long as you say, God, go ahead and take my family. I'm going to put you first. Or take my husband. I put you first. As long as you'll make that step and do it, he will meet you right where
yes,
you're at.
And
it
Lord.
May be all at once, and it may be a little at a time. And listen, you may not feel anything. I went to a tent revival the other night. I can't even go on to tell you how God led me to where I was going. And when I got there, I had warfare going there. When I got there, I left early. I came out, but let me tell you something. It wasn't 5 minutes after I got my car, the Spirit fell and hit me because God was honored with that sacrifice. See, I didn't feel anything in the middle of it. I didn't feel anything through the warfare. I didn't feel anything about that minute. But God will meet you there, and God is the one who is able to destroy every stronghold. He is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into him, and you will be saved.
Yes.
That is his promise today. And we thank
yes,
him, Lord.
Lord.
We thank God for that promise, for his promises
yes,
are yea
Lord.
And amen, and he will not fail you. He won't fail you, housewife. He won't fail you, truck driver. He won't fail you, teacher. He won't fail you, man of God. Man of God, he won't
yes,
fail you.
Lord.
You know, man of God, men and women of God need to come back to God. You know, preachers need the gospel preached to them, June. We need
yes.
the gospel preached to us because we need to be cleansed and purified. It's a daily thing. It's a daily sacrifice. It's not a one-time altar. This won't be the first time you pray. This won't be the first time that you say, make me clean again. It is a journey. It is a constant going
yes.
to that altar. That altar was not for the sinner per se. It was for the believer. So don't worry if you're a believer and having to get clean again. You're supposed to get clean again. And if you're an unbeliever, come on in for the first time, and he's going to clean you over and over. He's going to do it for you constantly. As you keep coming to him, he will do it for you. He will do it again. There's that song, he will do it again, and he will do it again for you, man of God, for you, woman of God, for you, woman of faith or man of faith. Listen, there's no greater gospel than the gospel of being clean before God. Listen, I love to learn. Song of Solomon is my favorite book in the Bible, and there's such a powerful, deep word in that. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more powerful or greater than the gospel of repentance and first love. That everything begins and ends on first love. So who is your first love today? I pray Jesus is your first love today. I pray he's my first love today.
Yes, Lord.
It's a journey, June, that we have to
yes.
take every day. And every day, when there's days that I feel numb, when I can't find him, when I can't feel him, I say, Lord, am I not putting you first? Lord, what is it? What's wrong? Because I know, Lord, you want this relationship, and you want to be real, and you want to be alive, and you're an alive God. And God, I know you want to be real.
Lord.
And so every day, June, we may have to come to the altar every day, and it's okay. That's what it's there for. That's what it's there for. It's not, now don't be confused. It's not about going out and saying, well, I'll do this and repent. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying every day we're to draw near, because there is a sin nature that God is dealing with in his people. As we take off that sin nature, and he'll put on his yoke. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So he wants us to put on his nature today. And Father, right now, we just want to bless you. And I just pray, Bride, join me as we always do. Seems like I cry every time the Spirit starts moving on this
yes,
radio program.
Okay.
Lord, we just lift up our hands in awe of who you are.
Yes, Lord.
In awe that you are a God who hears and listens to your people's cries and your people's prayers. And God, these same hands, God, that we lift to you, we lift them to you to honor you alone. We lift them to you that you might bless Juna, that you might continue her journey. You might continue
yes.
this vision, that she would continually be clean before you, that she could preach the gospel of holiness and purity.
Yes, Lord.
That you have brought her so far. And we, the bride, say, Lord, take her even further. We, the
yes,
bride,
Lord.
Say, Lord, keep her on her journey. Keep her on the straight and narrow.
Yes,
keep her
Lord.
Close to you. For you're in her relationship. And not only just for yours and hers, but for the blessing that it will be to the rest of us.
Yes,
I thank
Lord.
You for her willingness to be open. Lord, as she opens herself to her many sorrows and many trials and many failures, she's opening up herself to be condemned and be persecuted. But God,
yes.
we know her, we love her for that, because we see if she can make it, then I can make it. If she can come out of that and be pure, I can come out and be pure. So God, we ask you, Lord, as we extend our hand, Lord, we ask you, God, to elevate this vision in her life. Give her every tool she needs. You
yes.
got your angels to help her. Lord, send people with one mind and one accord that will honor, give June the honor she deserves. Lord, that people who are with her, she has people I know with her that are not with her just with their lips, but their heart is knit with her. And I ask you to send others
to knit others along, not for what they can get from her, but, Lord, to give to this vision that you have given her, God. And so, Father, most importantly, God, we want your will to come first and foremost in Jesus' life. And, God, I thank you, Lord, for that day, Lord, when we will all meet together. We will all be together. And, Lord, we'll see. We'll see how far you've brought us. You'll see. We'll see how far we've come, and we will see the great things, even greater things, going to conspire, come together in June's life, Lord, in the ministry you have for her. We bless this ministry. We thank you for this ministry, and we thank you for this opportunity that she gives. And you, through her, give ministry to proclaim the word of the Lord. And
yes,
God,
Lord,
thank you enough for her life. And I thank you she didn't get hardened and bitter, and she didn't quit.
Yes, amen to that. A lot of people do, let me tell you.
Yes, and I just thank you for, I just thank the Lord for, I love you telling me when the Lord tells you and shares things with you. That's my favorite part, how he tells you things, how he says, June, do this, June, do that. I love, that's my favorite part, when you just tell us about your life. I love it, and I thank you for sharing.
Well, I got to tell you, this dream that God gave me when you talked about the transparency reminded me. This is in my book. I dreamed that, and this was this summer, this dream. I dreamed that I was a butterfly just coming out of my cocoon, and my wings got really big. I was still hanging on the tree. And I let go of the tree, and I started flying through this beautiful field with such beautiful flowers. And I was just flying and enjoying the flowers. And then all of a sudden, I went over this field of wheat. And then my wings just got so big, like they just grew as wide as the field was. It looked like millions of wheat. And my wings covered the whole thing.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, this light shone down from heaven and shone through my wings. My wings were transparent.
Oh.
And because of that, it was causing all these fluorescent colors to shine on the wheat. So I looked down and I saw, like, the wheat was blowing in the wind and the colors were just flowing all through. It was just so beautiful and shiny. And the wheat all of a sudden looks up and starts clapping. They started clapping at the wings and the colors. And then all of a sudden, this hand comes down from heaven and swipes up the butterfly and takes it home.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, Lord, what a beautiful dream that was.
It does say, doesn't the word say, the fields will clap their hands, you shall go forth with singing. The fields will clap their hands. And so we are those fields, and you are the transparent butterfly. It's bringing light to us.
Oh, man, I never thought about that.
Yes,
I knew it meant, you know, that my life would be transparent before the bride, but... You know, I do want to say this. I put it in the book that I believe that obedience is where your wealth is.
Yes.
So I'm still holding out, believing that my miracle is coming and that God has a plan for me. So y'all can listen to this in a year from now and say, wow. Listen to where she was a year ago. A year ago, she didn't have a home. A year ago, she was driving a 2000 Toyota Camry across the United States with the check engine light on and with 240-something thousand miles. You know, because no telling where I'm going to be in a year, but I know that my Savior's coming and that I'm obeying him 100%. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Dr. Jean, we thank you for this interview today. We thank God for your ministry. And remember, folks, we are the bride. Until next time, may you be clapping your hands. May the fields of the Lord clap their hands.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for interviewing me today, Miss Stephanie. You're such an awesome host.
Oh, thank you. It's my honor. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.